always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today I am excited to talk about being a fierce woman. What does that mean? Well, if you're a woman listening today, do you see yourself as beautifully fierce and embrace that strength that God has placed in you as a way to bring Him glory? Or do you sometimes wish that God would just give you a personality transplant because your strong or slightly strong nature has brought a little bit of conflict to relationships in the past? I admit I have actually prayed for a personality transplant at least one or two times in my life. Do you ever get the idea that maybe being a godly woman means that you need to be a mousy doormat? And that's not my quote. That's actually a quote from our author, who I'll introduce in just a bit. Do you ever think that in order to be a godly woman, you have to be as unnoticeable as a doorknob? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Or maybe you're a man listening today and you're married to or dating a strong, confident woman that God has placed a bit of fierceness inside of. And how does that strong personality affect your relationship on a day-to-day basis? Well, today we're going to talk about what it means to be a fierce yet godly woman. And my guest is a woman today who admits that her fierceness became a source of conflict in her marriage, but that the relationship dynamic totally changed when she discovered that her strengths could be used to encourage and inspire her husband. And I have a feeling that men and women listening today are going to be able to relate to some of her story, and that God will really send a blessing through this conversation and through the wisdom that she's going to share today. So praise God for that. Let me introduce you to our guest so I don't have to waste another moment. Kimberly Wagner has first and foremost a passion for Christ. She desires to ignite women's pursuit of God's glory. She's a frequent guest on the Revive Our Hearts radio program, as well as a regular contributor to the True Woman blog. Kim has written several devotionals and resource materials for women, and she loves encouraging women to become students of the Word. Kim's married to her favorite pastor, she says, Leroy Wagner. And their children include Rachel and her husband, Adam, Caleb and his wife, Lindsay, and a growing tribe of grandchildren. You can find her online at KimberlyWagner.org. And today we get to discuss Kimberly's book, Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. Welcome, Kimberly.
Oh, it's good to be here with you, Joe. I'm excited about having a little visit with you and your listeners.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I just kind of had to chuckle at that. The title, it seems almost like it's an oxymoron, being fierce, soft, and a warrior all at the same time. How did you come up with that title?
Well, actually, it was several years ago when my husband and I were in the trenches of our difficult season in our marriage that he coined the phrase, called me a fierce woman. And as we began working through our relationship struggles, he admitted to his own fearfulness. And so we started seeing this common tendency between strong women who exert their fierceness in a destructive way, and we just called it the fierce woman, fearful man cycle, and we've seen that to be true in so many marriages, sadly, that it's a destructive cycle.
So you do write about some destruction that fierceness can bring, but you also write about some very positive things that can happen if a fierce woman is fully committed to God. So can you give me kind of the background on why you decided to write this and how you felt it might benefit others?
Yeah. Well, and let me just say that I believe within every woman, Joe, there is a fierceness that God's placed within her in order for us to fulfill our calling. You know, it's just this beautiful strength and tenacity and determination that God places within us in order for us to obey His will and calling on our lives. And really, the way the book came about is I'm a part of a movement that I'm excited to share with you about. It's called the True Woman Movement, and it's really it comes from Revive Our Hearts Ministries, and it's under that umbrella where we're just calling women to embrace their design, our unique design as women, in order to fulfill our calling to live out that identity in order to glorify God through our womanhood. And in that process of being a part of that movement, Reviver Hearts produced a YouTube video where my husband and I share about this destructive cycle that we were involved in. And I hope women who are listening and men will pull it up online if they have opportunity today or in the future. It's, you can find it by just in your search browser putting in Marriage Miracle, Kim Wagner, Marriage Miracle. You can go to Reviver Hearts website or True Woman or KimberlyWagner.org and find it. But it's a YouTube video where we share about this destructive cycle. Well, that video was produced, and then I'm a blogger with TrueWoman.com, and I had a series of articles on preparing a safe place for your man, where I just used this acronym, an appreciation acronym, and wrote several posts on how women can build a unifying relationship with their husbands. And Moody Publishers saw that, both of those resources, and invited me, asked me if I'd just share our story in book form. And so that's kind of the background behind how Fierce Women came to be.
So is this a book that's only for married women, or can single women benefit from reading this as well?
Yeah, no, it's not just for married women. In fact, I was visiting with your producer this morning, and she said she's getting ready to get married, and that she thinks she could glean from the book. And I said, yeah, our church actually tries to provide for women that we know are preparing for marriage. As they're preparing, we give the bride-to-be this book. Because as a single woman preparing for marriage, there's great things, insights you can receive before you go into marriage. But also, just as a single woman, there's a single woman in our church that says she has used this with her adult son in their relationship. Because really, there's just this common tendency in women to exert our strengths in ways that can, unintentionally, we can demean men, we can intimidate them, we can even, in a sense, emasculate men if we're using our fierceness in a way that really isn't, I'd say, surrendered to the Spirit. and that when we're just trying to control or manipulate situations, and we as women seem to have that tendency.
Well, tell me a little bit more about the True Women movement. I know that that's kind of what started this conversation in the first place and what has continued to blossom. I think our listeners would really benefit from hearing more about that.
Oh, yeah. I would encourage the listeners to go to truewoman.com, and you can pull up a lot of great resources there. There are articles, but there's also a national conference that's held this fall. It will be in, I believe, October, and that you can go to truewoman.com and pull up the information and details about that, where we have great speakers like Nancy Lee DeMoss, Mary Cassian, Janet Parshall will be there this fall. So I really want to, I'll be there this fall, and we'd love to meet you. And it's just a great opportunity for women to really come under some biblical teaching. And there's so much blurring today, Joe. I know you know this. There's so much blurring of the gender roles and distinctions. And it's like our society is trying to move toward this unisex ideal. And we're just ignoring the fact that God really did create us, and he stresses this in Genesis 1, that he created us as male and female. He has great reasons for that distinction, and it really is bigger than just the anatomical, physical differences. It has to do with God displaying his glory. It has to do with really us being able to portray the gospel through our womanhood, through our gender. And so if women are interested in that topic, they can find out more about it by going to truewoman.com.
So you had, I talked a little bit about in the intro, and you had written in your book that sometimes when women hear that they need to kind of surrender to God's call in their life, that they have to become a mousy doormat. But you actually wrote that putting on a weak appearance isn't really the way to encourage leadership or encourage your husband to lead. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I don't think most men really want a mousy doormat. Now, there's exceptions to that, but my husband says that it was my strength, really my fierceness, that first was appealing to him. And so I think men like that challenge, but they don't want to be beat up or domineered over by a strong woman. And so even in the appendix to the book or on my website, there are some PDFs that you can download for free. One of those is Challenging Your Husband to Robust Christianity. I think men want, and God wants, the type of relationship between men and women where we are iron sharpening iron, and we're able to encourage them to be all that they can be. And that doesn't come through us being a brainless ninny, you know. My husband, one of our favorite things for us to do is we read really good books together. He'll read out loud or I'll read, and we'll discuss that. We'll challenge one another intellectually and spiritually, and we'll dig into discussion together. And that's just one example, but I just think that men love a woman who will come alongside them, be a champion for them, but also, you know, they're not going to be just a lay down and let the man walk over them, but they're going to be humble and strong at the same time, and a friend to their husband. And this goes to, Joe, not just in the husband-wife relationship, but with coworkers, with an adult son, with friends. And so we as women, just in the way that we relate to men, I think there's a lot that we can do to spread God's glory just in how we as women treat men.
I love listening to my husband when someone says, how did you meet? And he said, or how did you know you were in love? And he said, well, the day I met her, all we talked about was politics and religion, which was, he goes, but the day I fell in love was the day I saw her turn a double play in an ice softball game. So, yes,
great.
I think the fierceness kind of came with the package with me. We're talking with Kimberly Wagner today. She's the author of Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. Kimberly's book explores what it means to be a woman of strength and how God can use that strength to build others up for His glory. Would you like to join in on the conversation? Give us a call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-FAITH. Or you can go online at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith. If you have a question for Kimberly, you can submit it that way. We have a few of her books to give away, and we'd love to put that in your hands. If you are a fierce woman or know one who needs to have this, please give us a call. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Hi, this is Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. It's the start of a new year, and I hope one of the New Year's resolutions that you've made this year is to support Faith Radio. Your prayerful, generous support is changing lives across the Upper Midwest. You can give simply and safely online at myfaithradio.com or call 877-933-2484 to make your gift today. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey, and we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and on the air today with me is Kimberly Wagner. She is the author of Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. And we're having a conversation just about being women, the women of strength, and how God can use that to really build up our husbands and our relationships as well. Kimberly, do you consider yourself a strong woman, and how has that affected your marriage?
Yes, I do consider myself a strong woman. And like I say, in the beginning, similar to your story, my husband, I found it appealing, my strengths. But as we entered into just the trenches, once we were married, just the trenches of daily life, we had a lot of conflict just with our personality differences, our background and culture differences. And I did not realize it, but in small ways at first, I began to intimidate him. And it could be something as simple as, you know, telling him how to park and sounding more like his mother than like he can't drive his own vehicle and pick out his own parking spot. Just in small ways at first. And then that began to be a pattern where I would demean him in decisions, leadership decisions he would make, different ways in our home that he would lead that I would disagree with. And what began to happen without me recognizing or realizing it at first was I watched Joe, and I'm really trying to control my emotions here, because when I think back to how low of a place that my husband was at, it's like I am thinking back to another individual that was such a dark time. And this strong, confident, happy young man began to lose his sense of identity and confidence, and he literally went into a cave of isolation. He entered into a long season of several years of depression, where it was difficult for him to even get out of bed in the morning. And the further he went into that, Joe, the more I blamed him for being there. And in my mind, I kept thinking, why don't you just be a man, you know, and get your act together, lead me. Our children were young at that time. And he was, through a part of that season, he was a pastor, pastor of a growing church. And in that field, he was excelling. But at home, I saw him as a total failure. And now he even admits that he was very much failing me and the children in his role as husband and father. But the further he would go into that place, that cave of depression, I became more and more destructively fierce, because I thought by the pressure I was exerting that he'd snap out of it. And I was so wrong. I thought all of the problem with our marriage conflicts and our issues, he was all of the problem. And I kept pointing to him. And I share a lot of that in the book, and share about how even, you know, in my prayer life, it was prayers that were directed at expecting God to discipline him and deal with him. And God was so gracious to me. I kept crying out to God and asking him, what's the answer? Where's the answer? And Joe, even though I was studying the Word of God, I was teaching women, would even teach on things like biblical submission, which makes me laugh now to think about it, my approach. I didn't even have an understanding of that term at that time. But even in the midst of that, I loved Jesus. I loved his word. But yet, my eyes had not been open to my own sin in this area. And I think it's a common occurrence. It's unintentional. But we need a wake-up call to have our eyes opened to be able to see into our hearts and recognize what's going on. And I'm so grateful for the Ministry of Reviver Hearts and really the role they played in waking me up to this. I went away to a cabin for a few days, really at the reason for that, I said, was to write a Bible study on First Peter, but yet at the heart of why I was getting away, I just wanted to get away. I had had it with our marriage, with my husband, and I needed time, just time to get away. And while I was at that cabin, I didn't realize it until after I got there, but in my Bible, in the flyleaf of my Bible, I had tucked away this little booklet by Nancy Lee DeMoss called Biblical Portrait of Womanhood, and it's available on their website. And I pulled that out, and it's just a simple little booklet with diagnostic questions and scripture, and I just, gratefully, it was the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, that just led me to start going through that booklet before I even started working on that First Peter study. And as I was working through that booklet, God was so gracious to open my eyes to my role in the marriage and how I had failed. You know, we, those of us who do maybe teach the word or seek to live out the word, we look at Titus chapter 2, those verses that's addressed to women there in verses 3 through 5, and, you know, I sometimes refer to that as the biblical womanhood passage. And in that passage, it tells the older women to train younger women to, you know, love their husbands, love their children. It lists these things we're to be kind. But at the bottom, at the end of that listing of all of these things we're to be doing, there's this little phrase that tells us why we're to be doing those things, why we're to love our husbands, our children, why we're to be applying the truth of the word, why we're to do that. In the King James Version, it's very uses a strong word. It says we're to be doing that so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. Blasphemed. Another version says so that the word of God will not be reviled. It's really when we're, and Joe, this is so serious, and this is why I'm so passionate about reaching women with this message. When we, as believers, whether men or women, when we profess with our mouths that we know Jesus Christ, that the God of the universe, we've entered into a relationship with him, and yet our lives look no different than the lost world, we as women, we treat our husbands in a very disrespectful, demeaning manner. We talk to a sales clerk and are rude in our behavior. We're obnoxious with our children. When we do those things, we are reviling the word of God. We're blaspheming the word of God. We're essentially saying with our actions, okay, I say I'm a believer, but don't look at my life because my life does not show the power of the gospel. And when we're doing that, people will not be drawn to Christ. They will not be drawn to the gospel. And we're missing out on living out the power of the gospel and experiencing all the joy and richness that comes from that.
Kim, I'd love to get into some specifics about some things that you believe that you were doing that was contributing to this fearful man, fierce women feel fearful man cycle. We're going to talk about that a little bit after the break. And if you're listening and would like to ask him a question, or maybe you feel like you need a copy of this book, give us a call. We'd love to get that in your hands. 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or if you'd rather, go online at myfaithradio.com. You can submit a question right there, and I will get that on the air for you. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and today we're talking with Kimberly Wagner. She's the author of Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior, and looking at God, how God has made women who might be fierce and might be very strong personalities, but how he can use that to really benefit others and to bring him glory. Kimberly, I love in your book how you tell a story about a woman who was kind of outdoing her husband. You tell a story about a baseball game and a woman who is holding an infant in one arm and then reaching over the head of her husband, who also has his hands up, to catch a baseball that's gone into foul territory, and how that video was shown over and over again for people to see. And you just titled that section, She's Outdone Me Again, and talk about how sometimes we just don't know where we're supposed to stop. We like to strive and strive, and that can be to the detriment of the relationships around us. And you called that emasculating your husband. Can you talk a little bit about that and how sometimes that puts us in a position where we may not want to be as wives?
Yeah, Joe, I think we don't even realize it's so easy to do it that we don't even realize we're doing it. I mean, it can be as small, like I said earlier, as criticizing their driving or where they choose to park, or if your husband leaves the potato chip bag open and doesn't clamp it shut with a little clipper, you're getting on to him like he's a child. And now, all of the listeners may not be doing that kind of thing. It may be more just in conversation with him, the tone you take on, a superior-sounding tone of voice that makes, or a expression on your face that makes him feel like he's an idiot. I had a woman ask me recently about a decision her husband was going to make, a financial decision, and they could do it. It just wasn't what she wanted at the time, but it was a dream he had to expand a business opportunity, and she was just taking the heart out of his dream by slamming his idea before even taking time to think about it, pray about it together, and letting that dream foster and grow, and letting him take some leadership there. I think so commonly our husbands are slower to react on things at times, slower to lead, and so we'll just jump right in. We see something that needs to be fixed, and we say, I'm going to jump right in and fix this. It's taking him too long. And so we do that enough times, Joe, and our husband finally, or the man at the office even, just finally says, okay, you want to take the lead, you go right ahead. And they passively just shut down. And by doing that to men, we miss out on all that they could bring to the table. And some men, they'll react passively. Others in a marriage often will react in hostility and aggression. And so you have two people that are really missing out on a beautiful work God may want to do because you're treating each other disrespectfully and not really giving room for the other person to show their creative abilities or to take ownership in places where of responsibility that they have.
So what might be a proper way or a biblical way to act rather than taking control? What would be your advice there?
You know, one thing, when God opened my eyes to this, and let me just insert this here so I don't forget this, is I went home to my husband, and I was honest with him and asked his forgiveness. I asked my children's forgiveness. Because I recognized I have been demeaning him in this way. I have not treated him with respect, with true love, and I asked his forgiveness, and that was the start of breaking this cycle. But then it took a long time for us to learn new patterns of relating to one another. And one of the things that I started doing, and really in the book, I share a lot of illustrations and practical helps in the things that you can change and apply to your marriage. But one of the things that I learned that was helpful is just to pause for a minute and let him finish talking. You know, let him, as he's exploring an idea, as he's talking to me about something he wants to try or a new direction he wants to go, just to be quiet for a little while and let him talk about that. I kept wondering why my husband never said anything. Well, I was filling up all of the space with all of the words. He couldn't get a word in edgewise. And that's just a simple thing. But telling our husbands thank you for the simplest things that they do. I have wives say, you know, my husband won't do anything around the house. Well, if he does one thing, one small thing, make a big deal out of it. Let that be a baby step, and you would be amazed. Men just seem to be wired to receive encouragement, and a little bit of encouragement goes such a long way with them that they want to go out and kill a giant when you give them a little bit of encouragement.
I have a couple of listeners who have written a couple of questions I'd love to ask you, if that's okay, Kim.
Sure.
One is from Katrina. She says, in my own life, I've swung from being an aggressive woman to being a passive woman. Where is the middle ground? How do we know when we're crossing a line into passivity or aggression?
You know, I think a good way to recognize where you are in that is in your conversations with your husband. Are you able to have humble but honest communication? Or are there things that you're afraid to bring up with him because you haven't learned how to relate to one another in a gracious manner, to communicate with one another with respect? So can you share your heart with your husband? But can you do it in a way that is not, you know, men don't deal real well with emotions. And if you're a crier or a shrieker, you know, they're not going to enjoy receiving that. But if you can be able to communicate your heart in a way that's winsome and maybe even, you know, one of the PDFs that you can get at my website is how to confront your husband when that's necessary. Many of the listeners to this broadcast, Christian listeners, have in their home one or more people that are addicted to pornography. Now, if there's a wife that recognizes that her husband is addicted to that, she's not to ignore that. She's not to be passive and just enable him through her passivity. But can she come to him in humility, in a gentle but biblical way, like Galatians 6, 1 and 2 talks about, the using the format of Matthew 18, to come and talk to her husband about that. So I think a way you can recognize whether you're in passivity, if you're in passivity, then you're probably not communicating with your husband. If you're at the other end in your aggression, you're probably yelling at your husband. So just listen to your conversation.
I've noticed that some people are writing in just kind of, well, let me just read you this caller. It says, I cannot stop demeaning my husband. I don't get it. I'm nice to everyone else, but it seems that criticism comes so easily when I'm speaking with my husband. Please help. It makes my heart sad.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women are in that position. Oh, so I'd love for you to address that.
Yes, I so relate to that because I can remember a time when, okay, I'm going to try not to cry, Joe. I can remember a time when I did not even like my husband. And now, for several years now, he has been my closest friend and confidant. But there were years we went through, dark years, where we wouldn't even speak to each other. Neither of us liked each other. 5 years into our marriage, he told me he no longer loved me. And we were staying married only because of our commitment to Christ. But those patterns can be reversed. It's not something you can do on your own. I couldn't do it on my own. I am so thankful for the truth from Scripture that says we've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. And when we begin to, by the power of the Spirit and the grace He provides, apply the truth of Scripture, I hope that listener that wrote in, well, any of the listeners, will look at Colossians 3 today. That chapter is what I recommend to families to go through together as their template for how they are to live out their family life together. And just to challenge you to let that be a study for you to do individually or with your husband or with your family. And it's such a description in Scripture of what we're to be, and it brings such freedom when we are living out those truths, because that's who we are in Christ. But that can't be done on our own. And that caller is right, or that listener that wrote in, she can't do that. We can't do that on our own. We can only do that as really the key to victory over that kind of sin is falling more and more in love with Jesus, where we love Him more and the truth of His word more than our own sin. And we ask Him to help us to recognize when we're giving way to that sinful tendency, and when we're not appreciating our husband. I hope that caller, if that caller, the one in particular that you mentioned, Joe, if she's listening and will contact you directly asking for a copy of Fierce Women, I assure you Moody Publishers will send her that. If you get with Janice backing at Moody Publishers, they'll send a copy to her of Fierce Women.
Excellent. Well, it does seem that, like I said, there are many women who might feel the same. So I hope that that question was answered for many of the listeners who didn't call in. Another caller asked, it seems like there is a trend for men to be extremely passive within the church, that many women in this person's Bible study have said that, and they're wondering how to confront that. And that kind of seems to go along with what you were talking about with the fierce woman, fearful man, with that cycle that continues.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's just a default position that's come about in men individually, but also with our culture. You know, it's been an interesting trend a few years ago. Now the greater number of college graduates are women. And the feminist agenda is moving forward, where women now really are taking the role as, in many ways, the major breadwinners, those with the greatest education. And men are sitting back and saying, okay, you go with it. And I think the way to turn that around, we can't answer the problem at large maybe, but just individually, and how we begin to demonstrate appreciation to the men around us, and we encourage them in any small hint of leadership that we see in them. We encourage them in that and give them a place of leadership.
What would be the best way to go about doing that, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, take for example, this is a very small way, but in that Bible study group, if the women are stating their opinions and they're talking so much that they don't leave room for the men to speak, the men won't speak. And then when they do say something, that they are able to encourage them and say, you know, that's a great point, Paul. I appreciate you bringing that out. It's in us not ignoring the role that men can take in our churches, in the workplace, that we begin to give them back a lot of the ground we've taken from them as women.
We're talking today to Kimberly Wagner. Kimberly has written a book called Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. Her book explores what it means to be a woman of strength and how God can really use that to build up husbands, other people as well, and to use that strength in a powerful way rather than a destructive way. We have your questions coming up. If you'd like to give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. And two of Kimberly's books left. If you'd like to get a copy of that, we'd love to put that in your hands. You're listening to Connecting Faith.
Maybe you've heard that Faith Radio's on Twitter. It's an increasingly popular way to stay connected to your friends and your interests online and on your phone. It's simple and easy. It sends you short updates on the latest from your favorite Faith Radio teachers, original shows, and events. What about giving it a try today? Just search for My Faith Radio on Twitter or head to twitter.com/MyFaithRadio to follow us today.
It's been the bestseller since the printing press was invented. Controversial for centuries, history can't ignore the message of the Bible. If you're looking to go deeper in your study of God's work, stop by our website this month for a chance to win a free MacArthur Study Bible, a great resource featuring more than 20,000 study notes stretching from Genesis to Revelation, compiled by Dr. John MacArthur. Start a deeper walk of faith today when you visit myfaithradio.com and search Bible Study.
Sit around and wait for someone else. We're talking today with Kim Wagner. She's written a book called Fierce Women, and we're just talking about what amazing opportunities we have as women to build up our husbands in everyday life. Love this quote from Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Kim, how can our words and the what we say bring wonderful power and encouragement to the men we're married to?
I think expressing gratitude to them is huge. When we're a discontent woman, men, husbands in particular, they feel it's their fault. You know, they feel like, well, I've not provided well. I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. And for us to express gratitude for the smallest things and thank them, for us to communicate praise to them, you know, specific praise. Also for us to use our mouths in a way to ask forgiveness. That's a huge thing in marriage that we need to recognize right away when, you know, if I've stated something in a rude manner, if I've spoken harshly or in a rude way to my husband, I need to, and I do, turn around immediately, because I know if that's left to fester, it can cause major problems. Plus, it's a sin against God, and I'll lose fellowship with the Father. You know, I just want to get that right. So I'll go to my husband and say, would you forgive me? And specifically state what you did wrong. You know, I was so rude in how I spoke to you, or I wasn't listening well. I think it's not just verbal communication. I've noticed that I've been in a room, like in a doctor's waiting area, and where couples, young couples are there waiting to go in with the wife. It's, you know, her first pregnancy, and the husband's there. And both of them are there on their phones, totally detached from one another. They're reading their phones. You see that in restaurants. You see that with couples on dates. And my encouragement is to be verbally engaged with your husband. You know, look, when you're at home in the evening, don't be attached to your separate devices. Communicate with one another. Enjoy one another. Find out what is going on in his life. Find out what he's interested in. And then he'll probably return that as well. And if he doesn't, hey, you know. You can share with him, but it's not all about me.
I had the benefit of staying with a family for about a week after I was in college. I was just staying there. They had put me up for a job that I was doing, and I will talk about this often with my husband. One of the things I loved and learned about the kind of marriage I wanted was that after dinner, they would send their three kids to their kids' playroom, and they would sit on the couch, actually lay on the couch. One of them would lay on the couch. The other one put his head in her lap, and they just talked for 30 minutes about their day and to each other with no distractions. And
so good.
Yes, I have found that when we commit that time to each other and, you know, have our kids get engaged with something else or maybe have them clean up the kitchen, it makes such a huge difference in our lives.
Yeah, I agree. So good.
So what causes some of this beautiful fierceness that God has put within us to go bad? What are some of the things you kind of write about? Ingratitude, pride, and fear, and the desire to control, which I think affects a lot of us.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think all of those things really stem from pride, but it's the sin issues of the heart. And it just comes out, it's expressed in different ways. And ingratitude, like I said a minute ago, discontentment, that plays a huge role in the marriage. That desire to control, I think that's just that within women, we want things to go smoothly. We want things to go well, and we think our way is best.
When they don't go well, it seems to all fall on us as well.
Yeah, it can. And so we think, well, I'm just going to jump in and fix it or tell him how to do it. Or if I want it done right, I'll do it myself. And, you know, I think sometimes it's good to just step back and get a better perspective and say, you know what, in the long run, does this really matter? You know, if he forgot to take out the trash today, is that worth berating him? Or if he makes a choice that I don't agree with, is it worth?
If the chips go stale, can I just buy another bag?
Exactly. Is it worth breaking his spirit?
You write a lot about humility. What's the difference between God's view of humility and what we would say is being a doormat?
Oh, it's a huge difference. And thanks for that question. That's a great question. You know, the greatest man who ever lived was, of course, Jesus Christ. But he was also the most humble man. Philippians 2, just to read through that and that description of him in 1 Peter 2 as well. You know, humility, I believe, is when we begin to recognize how God views us. And that is that, yes, we begin our lives, we begin this world as sinners, as undeserving totally of his goodness. But yet, he graciously loves us, has called us to himself, and purchased us with his own blood. And so we are valuable because of our identity in Christ. And so as we fix our eyes on who we are in Christ, that brings about a humble confidence.
So a lot of what I was reading in your book were things that women could do to kind of build up their husbands. But I saw a lot of these tips of being beneficial for husbands as well. Can you give a word to the men who are listening today who want to know how can they really serve or build up their woman who may be a fierce or strong woman and not really sure how to handle that?
You know, I think that the greatest thing that men can do that want to be a spiritual leader in their home is to have eye-to-eye contact with their wives and talk to them about the issues of their heart, and then ask their wives, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And commit to daily prayer with their wives. For years, my husband he was a pastor. He would pray with other people, but we didn't have a regular prayer time in our home, and I ached and longed for that. And men, if you would just, it's hard for some men. They say, I'm intimidated by that. I don't want to pray out loud with my wife. Oh, if you would take those first few simple steps of starting to pray for her. A wife will want to follow a man who is demonstrating, I'm going to step out on the limb here. I'm going to be a man. I'm willing to talk to God about your issues, your needs, your desires. I'm going to intercede with the Father for you, and I'm going to be your spiritual covering. A woman wants to follow a man like that. And I am so thankful, Joe, so grateful that it's been probably almost 15 years now that Leroy made that commitment to me that he would never go another day without praying with me and over me, and he has kept that commitment. And I don't care where in the world either of us are, he'll be on that phone. And if I'm in a time zone and can't receive that call right then, or I'm speaking, he will leave that prayer on the phone, on my voicemail, and it means the world to me.
Oh, that is beautiful. You know, we have about a minute left. Would you like to pray for women listening today who may be struggling in their marriage and are in need of some help?
I would love to do that, Jeff. Oh, gracious Father, we praise you that you have called us to yourself and given us this platform of marriage, or if we're single, our womanhood, you've given it to us that we can glorify you. And I just lift up to you the listener today who's in a very dark place and struggling and feeling isolated and all alone. And she may be a single woman that desires desperately to be married, or maybe she's a married woman that feels like she's a single woman because she has no relationship really with her husband. Oh, God, would you, right now,